Welcome to the iLEAP's Early Careers podcast, where we explore scientific research related to the biosphere and the atmosphere, and share the personal experiences of our early careers scientists as they navigate their way through academia.
Hi, my name is Tichomir, and I am an iLEAP's Early Career Committee representative for Europe. Today's podcast forms part of a series in which we chat with people from a range of roles within and outside of academia, and who are both in and from the region of Europe. Today on the podcast, we have Aino Correnzalo, who is a postdoctoral researcher at the Department of Environmental and Biological Sciences at the University of Eastern Finland, in the campus of Joensuu. Hello, Aino, and welcome to the podcast.
Hello, Tihomir. Thanks for the invite.
Yeah, I was wondering, so maybe we can start a little bit from the beginning. So how was your experience with science? How did you get inspired to get into science? What inspired you?
Yes, I think it's like for a biologist, it's a bit of kind of like a classic story that I was moving outdoors a lot as a teenager and got interested in how different ecosystems work. And I was seeing how the human actions had modified these ecosystems. And I started just wondering what I was seeing around me. And then I decided to study that to understand better what I was seeing, and then I kind of got carried away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that sounds very nice. But can you tell the listeners more specifically about the research that you're doing right now?
So yes, I am like a peatland researcher. So I'm doing work with peatland ecosystems that are like the mostly boreal peatlands. And I'm mainly interested in the carbon cycle of peatlands and how plant species and vegetation composition impacts those cycles. And very recently, I have also gotten interested in BVOCs and how the cycling of BVOCs is working in peatland ecosystems. And again, as kind of the interest in my research has been about the impact of plants and species composition, I'm also studying here with BVOCs how the plants are impacting the BVOC production and uptake in peatlands.
Mm. Yeah, it's very interesting that you're also doing not only the emission but also the uptake, because it's definitely a dynamic system right there in the peatlands, I think, right?
Yes, in peatlands, it's there is like a long research tradition about methane cycling. So how the methane is produced in the anoxic layers of the peat and how it is transported or diffused into the atmosphere and how it is taken up by microbes on the way to the atmosphere. So my idea was that I could maybe use some of that information that we know about methane to see if BVOCs would follow any of the same roads and pathways than methane does.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And right now you are doing a research exchange in Copenhagen, is that right?
This is correct, yes.
Yeah. I was wondering, what is your career progression so far? What's your story until today, let's say, like your professional story?
So I studied my master's degree in University of Oulu in Finland. Mm-hmm. And after my master's degree, I was dreaming of doing a PhD, but I didn't really have like the connections, or I didn't like have a very strong idea of my own what the PhD would be about, and I was even considering like whether I should be doing it at all. But then Professor Eeva-Stiina Tuittila at University of Eastern Finland had a PhD position open, and she had funding for a PhD student, and somehow the topic kind of clicked that I thought that like I will definitely apply that one. I had not yet finished my master's thesis, but luckily Eva-Stina had faith on me and she hired me anyway, and I finished my master's thesis and got really excited about this carbon cycling theme. I had been doing, with my master's thesis, I had been doing work with forestry drained peatlands in Finland. And that was interesting, but somehow I longed to get to study the pristine peatland ecosystems, which I did for my PhD. And after finishing my PhD, I worked for a little while in Eva-Stina's Academy of Finland project, but that was maybe like half a year or something. That was more like bridge funding until I would get my own funding. And at the same time, University of Eastern Finland announced that they have postdoc positions open, and I made a proposal related to methane cycling in boreal peatlands, and I got one of these three-year postdoc positions funded by the university. And this I started doing then like half a year after finishing my PhD. And this would have been 3 years, but I was on a maternity leave, luckily. That was a wonderful thing. I was on maternity leave in between, so they extended this postdoc. And Academy of Finland has then also postdoc positions open every year, and I applied for one of those. I didn't get it on the first round, and then the second time I applied, I was on the first reserve seat. And then I got it, and this is now the project that I'm currently doing, which is related to the BVOC cycling of boreal peatlands. So boreal peatlands and the plant species and vegetation compositions are kind of the stable things in my career, kind of stable themes, and greenhouse gas cycling. But then it has varied from like, in my PhD, I did like biomass production in peatlands, CO2 sink, and photosynthetic uptake of CO2. And then for my first postdoc, I was focused on methane cycling and methane transport to the atmosphere and these kind of things. And then now for my second postdoc project, I'm doing BVOC cycling. So this is mainly what has happened. So this position I started last autumn in October, and it will continue for 3 years.
Yeah, very, very interesting. Yeah, so it seems that you're doing quite a lot of different things, and I was wondering if there's what were some of the difficulties during your time as a postdoc specifically, and can you tell a little bit how you overcame these big challenges?
Yes. I think the biggest difficulty for myself has been to kind of maybe to believe in what I'm, like, not believe in the topics that I'm working with, but to kind of like when you are pursuing a career in research, you need to always gather your self-esteem when you're writing a proposal, and yet there is quite a high chance that it will be rejected. And also you sometimes get like papers rejected. Like when you write those proposals or manuscripts, you need to gather all your self-esteem and be really confident that this is like really a great thing that I'm proposing. And yet you need to know at the same time that that it can be rejected, and it's very likely even that it will be rejected. And then after that, you need to kind of distance yourself from the thing that you wrote and like kind of think that like, oh, I don't take it personally, and like I will just like gather my strength again and try again. So that takes, I think, some work to get used to that. I would say. And I don't know if I have overcame these challenges And I don't think I even had like a very rough road in that sense. I think I have been quite lucky with my with what I've been proposing and doing. But I would say like over the years I kind of got some mental tools to deal with those facts in this line of work.
I think it's very important to really kind of distance yourself from it, because it's easy to take it so personally, but it's not always, it's never like that. So I think it's it's difficult for sure. But it's not all bad, of course, right? There are definitely some really cool things. So can you tell us something really nice that happened, really great during your time as a postdoc researcher?
Yes, I think like as with the difficulties part, I think like also the best thing is more like a long process of learning rather than something really like spectacular experience. I think at least for myself, when I started the postdoc, I felt a little bit like a Bambi on ice, that I was a baby researcher who didn't really know how to walk. And like over time, I started learning the tools and realizing like what I'm good at and what is like kind of my weak points, and then kind of like grow my expertise and become kind of like become more and more independent researcher. And that has progressed over the years, and the Bambi has learned to walk a little bit better, I would say. I'm still not an adult researcher, definitely not, but that's a long way. So I think this long process of learning is really the most cool thing, I would say. Not like, of course, there are some field trips to foreign countries or something like this that were like spectacular one-time experiences or like really fun conferences or successful field campaigns. Those were also great, and I will remember them all probably for the rest of my life. But then all I think this like slow process of learning has been the best thing.
It's so nice in the science that you can contribute with some new knowledge, right?
Yes, and grow as a person also. And I don't know, I think like I don't have any, well, yeah, I don't know.
Thank you so much. But then there's always this question for, I think, for many PhD students at the end, like whether they should consider like continue doing research or not. So would you have any advice for people who are considering continuing doing the research? Something that might help them in not maybe make that decision, but also maybe during their first postdocs, for example.
I would say that if it's fun and interesting and if you are excited about it, then why not? I don't know if you really need to make like one big decision that after your PhD, like, oh, I will decide that I will continue in research and then that's it. Because it's often the way things are told us that okay, like after the PhD is an important moment. If you go and do further research, then it can be difficult to get other kind of positions. Or if you then move to industry, then it can be difficult to come back to research. But then when I'm looking around, like people I know, people are actually moving around and like having different kind of positions in different stages of their career. That some people that I know, they first went and did some consulting and then came back to research, or first did some research and then started like, if for example, if you're good at doing like mathematical ecosystem models, you might end up doing coding for a software company or like anything can happen. So I think like if you are excited about it and if you think it's fun, definitely you should do it, and then like not really stress so much that like, okay, this is a decision for the rest of my career. I don't think it's really that way. Like it can, like of course, like whatever you do will then take you to some direction, but it's not like most paths in can be walked in two directions, I would say.
Yeah, I think that's a very good advice. Yeah, to just not to put so much stress on that decision. Yeah. Thank you. Well, thank you so much, Aino, for coming to the podcast today. And yeah, good luck with the rest of your postdoc, yeah, and your career, of course.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It was a pleasure to be here.
So that concludes today's podcast. Thanks for listening. And just to say, if you want to learn more about iLeaps, please go to our website, iLeaps.org, where you'll find a link to our early careers website, where you can follow us on Twitter at iLeaps_ECSN or our Facebook page. Thanks.